This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7.06 a.m. on Thursday, the 23rd of March. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Keith Kham. In half an hour, we're going to discuss the upcoming general elections in Thailand that will be held on the 14th of May. But as always, we're going to kickstart the morning with a look at how global markets closed overnight.
Wall Street stocks slumped overnight as the U.S. Federal Reserve continued hiking interest rates to fight inflation, this time by 25 basis points up. It also noted that banking sector turmoil could weigh on the economy. So the Dow Jones ended 1.6% lower. The S&P 500 closed 1.7% down. The Nasdaq was also down 1.6%. But early in the day, Asian markets were a lot more upbeat. Japan's Nikkei was up 1.9%. Hang Seng was up 1.7%. Shanghai's Composite closed up 0.3%. Singapore's SDI ended 1.5% higher. Back home, the FBM KLCI on Bursa was up 0.4% at 1,412 points.
I think no doubt later on at 9 a.m. we are going to see the Asian stock turn red. So stick around. We'll find out more at 9 a.m. But in the meantime, to better understand what's moving markets, we have on the line with us Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Good morning, Vishnu. Thanks as always for joining us. So in the end, the Fed raised rates by a quarter percentage point last night. Was this what you were expecting in light of all that's been happening in the weeks before this?
Good morning. Yes. And pretty much this was in line with our expectations, not because we were prescient. It's just that it was too tiring to keep up with all the fluctuations in the market between a 50 basis point hike, you know, pre-SVB down to nothing and then back up at 25. You know, on balance, though, you know, and on a more serious note, I suppose it was a fine, really, a fine line that the Fed had to walk, because there was going to be that risk that if they were not to hike, apart from sending pretty confusing messaging on their target on inflation and price stability, they might have inadvertently caused panic in the market, because some parts of the market may have thought, maybe the Fed is saying something we don't, and the banking situation is far worse. Mm. So the broader messaging was one of confidence without complacency. And I think that's the messaging around the 25 basis point hike, but an unchanged dot plot. Because if you recall, prior to the banking sector turmoil, the Fed was hinting pretty strongly that you can expect the dot plot to move higher, which it didn't.
Vishnu, I'm curious what you think about the competing briefings that were held by Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. I think markets were struggling to untangle what their main messages were. Were their messages contradictory?
At the heart of it, I don't think they were meant to be contradictory. But I like how you framed it. There are some competing objectives here. I mean, on one hand, to get complete assurance, of course, at the risk of future moral hazard. One way to get complete assurance about the banking sector stability is for the Fed to, you know, pull all stops and say, you know, we're turning around, we're not tightening anymore. But yet, I think the Fed quite justifiably conveyed that inflation risks are not in the rearview mirror. One example of which came through in the UK, where inflation re-accelerated, and some of those drivers were due to second-round effects of inflation. So the Fed had to send the message that they did, and they did convey quite clearly a message of assurance about the banking sector being strong. I think implied in that message is we will see to it that it remains strong, which means they will probably put in liquidity backstops required. And they did water down, because they said some tightening is required rather than ongoing tightening. But it remains, you know, a very, very subtle messaging act for the Fed. And for the Treasury, I guess they can be more unequivocal about keeping the banking sector strong, because that's their core objective here.
Vishnu, speaking of contradictions as well, the Fed has to bring inflation down, and by doing that, they have to raise interest rates. And by doing that, one would argue that the U.S. banking crisis was born. Is there a way to achieve both?
I think it's always going to be a difficult act, and we must bear in mind you know, whatever the Fed alluded to in terms of the banking sector risk, which is tighter credit conditions for households and businesses, that is partly the objective of policy tightening anyway. So it's like trying to learn how to ride a bike without falling down. It's an ideal we can achieve, but the question really boils down to how bad the fall is going to be and how bad the tightening in credit conditions is going to be, because part of it is intended that you need to tighten credit conditions. So to answer that question, I think it's really going to come down to whether the Fed knows when to stop and whether sufficient liquidity backstops and other programs might be put in place. And one of that is the bank term funding program, where despite rising rates, which may lead to falling bond prices, the Fed has allowed for the full nominal face value of the bond to be used as the collateral for liquidity. So at the very least, they're trying to make sure that a liquidity crisis doesn't turn into a solvency balance sheet risk.
So how many more rate hikes do you envisage?
I mean, if we were to believe the Fed, then it's one more. But I think the path there may be more complicated, because the dot plot necessarily refers to where Fed sees rates by the end of the year. So that's to say, you could probably say that if inflation was running hot and jobs were pretty tight, the job markets were pretty tight without further incidences of banking market wobbles, you could see two more and maybe a possible cut late in the year if the economy slows further. But I think we are going to get somewhere between 5 to 5.5% for the lower bound, not much more. Markets, though, are a bit more aggressive. Markets, I think, are betting maybe that one more hike will come through, but they're looking at 75 basis points worth of cuts in the second half of the year, which is a pretty aggressive scale back to 4.125%. So that's a bet on the Fed really turning bearish. The interesting thing here is this time around, we've seen the dovish implications embedded in the Fed's messaging. It brought yields and dollar lower, but it also brought equities lower. There was no risk on. And I think that might be a realization that not every instance of the Fed turning is good news. And this time they may really be fearful of the banking market turmoil.
Vishnu, the reaction from equities is pretty much expected, down more than 1.6%. But the dollar ringgit has actually gone down. It's 445.55 right now from 447-ish yesterday. Why is the dollar weaker?
I think the dollar is weaker really as a knee-jerk function of how much the Fed may cut being priced into the forward yield curve, which is why even if one more rate hike is expected, markets are looking past that to say, you know what, in 6 months' time, we are going to be probably at lower yields than we are now. So that's why you see that USD yields have come off quite a bit and the dollar is reacting to the yield function. Theoretically, one could argue that equity should have been higher, because if you recall, much earlier, even when the Fed had further to go up upwards, just the thought of a Fed pivot further down the road would have caused equities to rally in anticipation, maybe in a bit too much anticipation. But this time, I think there is a sense of caution and more sober analysis of what would cause the Fed to reverse sharply. And one of that might be banking sector risks, which are not going to be good for equities.
Can we turn our attention over to what's happening in Europe, where holders of Credit Suisse's AT1 bonds saw their investments wiped out in the wake of UBS's takeover? Is this considered an unusual precedent, and are there adverse issues for investors who hold similar fixed income assets in other banks?
I think one of the problems with this is there hasn't been much of a precedent here. The AT1s are expected to absorb losses, but not at this rate, and not when equities are held safer. I think the main difference comes from the differences in the Swiss Banking Act versus the one that's undertaken by the EU and the UK. So, and I think the ECB and BOE came out to make this distinction, whereas the Swiss Banking Act can have has a greater degree of discretion in determining what's a stress situation which can wipe out AT1s. The European and UK Banking Act require equity holders to take the hit before, or at least alongside the AT1s, rather than just wiping out the AT1s but leaving equities less scathed. I mean, not unscathed in this case. So I think that's where the main difference comes in. And I think that's what policymakers are trying to reassure markets about. And that may explain why earlier this week we saw sentiments being shored up after that very, very sharp sell-off last week.
Bank of England is set to announce interest rates decision later today. What's your take on this?
I think it'd be very hard to avoid a hike, not just because the Fed did it, but alluding to a point earlier about our earlier point about the UK's inflation reaccelerating with signs of second round effect and not just the kind of one-off cost shocks. So it would be a fine balancing act, but I think the Bank of England would probably do a 25 basis point move and reiterate that they're probably drawing close, but contingent on inflation peaking, because I think in their case, signs of economic weakness are somewhat more prevalent.
Vishnu, thank you as always for the chat. That was Vishnu Varthan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, commenting on the Federal Reserve's FOMC meeting outcome, 25 basis points hike, and what that does for the rest of the economy and markets.
Things are so different these days, because I remember when I was trading in Forex at a bank in the 90s, whenever interest rates go up, the value of that currency would actually go up. But it doesn't seem to be happening this way anymore.
I think, yeah, there are a lot of disconnects in the economy at the moment. Mm. Just looking at what the pandemic caused and high inflation, high labor as well.
So many moving parts here.
Indeed, indeed. And I think the decision by the Fed was not what our commentator yesterday expected. I mean, we spoke to Jack Kuzi of BFS Group, and he was banking on the Fed putting a pause on things, but that didn't come to light. And I think we can see from Jerome Powell's messaging that they really are trying to maintain that fine balance between ensuring that inflation is tackled without also upsetting the banking sector, as how we've seen. I think Jerome Powell actually said the banking sector meltdown that we've seen is equivalent to a hike in interest rates as well. So I guess we will wait and see whether the combination of those higher interest rates and what's happening in the banking sector will slow down the economy, but not to the point of a hard landing is what everyone's hoping for. All right, 7:18 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, but when we come back, we'll continue looking at what's making the headlines in the newspapers and portals this morning. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.